It's too darn hot, too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot.
Hi everybody, this is Armand DeMille with Dr. Jerry Quincy, with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Hey, we're talking about heat. Yes, it is too darn hot. It's hot out there, and we've been hearing a lot about dangers and what comes up with heat. So I said, you know, I've been listening to many programs. There are not many thorough investigative things on what heat does and how heat works. So, Sherry Siegel, with us. Sherry, of all people, we did some research for you. We found out quite a few things, and I learned from Sherry, who's a physician, a fascinating thing she said. She said, when people come in who have passed out, right, what's the first thing you do?
I always check to see what medications they're taking.
What medications they're taking. And why do you do that?
Because some medications will cause blood vessels not to allow the blood to come to the surface. And that's how we let go of heat in our bodies. We bring the blood to the blood vessels in the skin, they open up, and the heat from the blood is dissipated into the air.
So wait, but before we get there, you want to know what medications people take, because here's what we found out, that one of the ways that people are in danger with heat is not by the heat itself. Of course not. You know, I mean, heat's been around a long time. But there are many more dangers for two reasons. People are living longer, so there are people who are much older who are out there. And as you get older, there's a natural kind of dehydration that takes place, I believe. Is that right, Sherry?
Right, and your thermoregulation, that means your body's ability to regulate hot and cold, changes over time.
Over time. But second to that is medications. There are certain medications that make you susceptible to hypothermia. And what's it called? Toxic hypothermia?
Or malignant hyperthermia.
What is malignant hypothermia?
That's when the temperature in the body goes up very high, and the body can't get rid of the heat. So if you touch the person's body, instead of sweating, they'll feel very dry to touch.
So the worst thing that you find out is the person passed out from the heat, but they're not sweating. That's a real sign of danger. That means death may be imminent. You have to be careful. Heat stroke comes on suddenly. Vigilance is required in order to prevent and treat this dangerous condition. The first and foremost symptom of a serious heat stroke is that the patient has stopped sweating. So there are certain medications that we discovered that people take commonly that could, in effect, contribute towards heat dangers. Now, we're going to be talking about, this is The Positive Mind, of course, but, you know, I realize there's not enough information there about heat, so that since we have a planet that seems to have destroyed itself to a point where maybe, you know, this is the ozone layer problem that's hitting us, or maybe it's not. But we have to learn about this, as we have to learn about everything, because heat also makes you irrational. Heat also makes you change in many ways in your personality. We're going to get to that, but let's get to the physical first so that you have information to protect the people around you. Certain drugs that you might take, most commonly of which are the anticholinergics. What are the anticholinergics?
Mm-hmm. A common one is Benadryl. People use that for allergies. It decreases the body's reaction to a bee sting or to allergies like pollen. And sometimes it's also used to sleep, because one of the side effects of these medicines causes sleepiness.
Yeah.
So many medications over the counter include things like Benadryl.
During the heat, people tend to get outdoors more. And there are people I know who are very much afraid of bug bites. In fact, some people have real toxic reactions to a bee sting. So they're likely to have antihistamines available for that. So it's possible that just the antihistamine using for the bug bite or other things, right, mm-hmm. as well. Benadryl to go to sleep or for your allergies.
Right. And you talked before about extremes of age. It's the people who are at the extremes of age, the older person or the child, the baby. Those are the people who are most at risk for heat stroke and side effects of medications. But most of the people who take antihistamines for allergies are middle-aged, we'll say. And it surprises them. They may not realize that that's a side effect of the medication.
One of the common, there are two drugs that have been kind of magic in life, or three that have been magic in life because they've saved people in so many different levels, but they're horrors. One of them is Coumadin. Coumadin, which is a blood thinner, which is for people who are afraid of having strokes, so they keep their blood thin. How is Coumadin dangerous during heat prostration?
Well, it's a...
Prostration,
right.
Prostration.
Versus the prostate.
Prostation.
An organ.
Right.
Well, it has mild anticholinergic side effects, and so it can have the same effect as things that include Benadryl. Those are things like we talked about before, where the blood vessels don't dilate in the skin, so that the heat in the blood and at the core of the body isn't getting out into the environment.
One would imagine that your physician who recommends Coumadin, or who recommends the anticholinergics, or even Lasix, also known as furosemide, I believe,
yes.
which is a water pill that people take frequently mm-hmm. if they've had heart conditions, or Zantac, which people take for reflux. All of these, the very same doctor that recommended them should be calling you up and saying, you know, it's hot outside. Maybe cut back on that medication, or maybe don't take that medication and go stand in the sun. Don't take this and go to the beach. You know what I mean? Not because nobody ever understands why, but because it may have that effect on you. We wonder why we don't get those calls from our physicians. What's going on here?
I do want to say that those side effects and the hyperthermia, it's a rare side effect, but it's a really important one because people may not know what's happening. Once they get very irritable, they stop sweating or their child stops sweating and becomes comatose. Sometimes they can become comatose.
And you're taking care of your child or your friend or something. And you notice them, and you get this dry skin, and they're passing out, right? Now, of course, the best thing to do is get fluids in them, right?
Fluids, cooling, get them immediately out of the sun, into the shade. They can go to a cooling center. The best thing to do is to go to the emergency room.
If you can do that, how fast you can get that. Now, but hypothermia, there's also hypothermia. There
right.
are different conditions that happen to people, because we keep hearing about... You got to be careful when you're out there. I remember once I was in Nevada, and I was in this town in Nevada where everybody carried a bottle of water. And everybody was carrying a bottle of water, and I was saying, and I was surprised they were always sipping water. It was like town knowledge. You could get dehydrated here. So, but sometimes it's not just that. Sometimes it's just not the absence of water. For example, what do you call it when you lose electrolytes?
Well, there are certain syndromes where the body has a lot of fluid, but very little in the way of electrolytes. And that's why the electrolyte drinks, like Gatorade, have become popular. Because when you drink fluids alone, you get too much fluid, not enough electrolyte. And sometimes the fluid doesn't stay in the blood vessels. It third spaces or it goes out into the tissues and can cause swelling. But yet there's not quite enough fluid in the blood vessels to pump around the body into the brain.
Let me try to slow that down for people, okay? Because I know you understand it, and I know you could see it, but I want people to understand you have a lot of water in your body. Now, of course, if you're swelling, you have a lot of water. What are you worried about? You know, I mean, you have so much water because you're swelling, but the water should be in your blood.
Exactly.
Not in your skin.
It's in the wrong place.
It's in the wrong place.
It's right? not in the place that's available for the body to take advantage of it. Because for the body to take advantage of it, it needs to be in the plasma. That's the fluid part of the blood. That's what takes the blood cells around the body to the lungs where the blood cells get oxygen, and then the oxygen is taken in the blood to the brain.
So when people take things like water pills and suddenly they seem to be urinating a lot of liquid, they're getting that liquid not from the blood, but they're getting it from the cells, right?
Well, they are getting it from the blood, the bloodstream. The kidneys filter the blood. The fluids and toxins go out via the kidneys into the bladder, and then they're out of the body.
So you lose electrolytes, sodium in particular, right? Now, you lose sodium. So does that mean eating salt when you're under heat is a good idea? They used to give salt pills to soldiers, you know.
Yes, yes. Because they're healthy young men, usually, who may not have water available, and the salt will help them retain some of the water.
Oh, that's because it helps you retain water.
Yes.
ADH, antidiuretic hormone.
That's right. But the problem is that if you're, say, for example, an older person, and you have heart disease and high blood pressure, sometimes eating salt can cause all sorts of problems, making it very hard for the heart to pump, can put you into heart failure. So there's an upside and a downside to salt.
Aye.
They have to have just the right balance.
Aye. All right. So let's talk about hypotonia, right? So we have this dehydration, hypotonic dehydration, which is the loss of sodium and electrolytes. And that's the common form, and that's the one they treat by shoving Gatorade, right? And saying, right, here, drink Gatorade. Mm-hmm. As if Gatorade really have electrolytes in it?
Well, lots of
just sugar water.
Gatorade and other things have electrolytes.
Gatorade has salt in it primarily, right?
It has salt, probably has potassium, a lot of different things. But the truth is you can get the same types of substances from drinking orange juice, from drinking other drinks, as long as it's not just straight water. And there's nothing wrong with drinking straight water as long as every so often you have a little bit of something with electrolytes as well.
Now, what's an isotonic dehydration?
That's when the fluids have the right amount of water and the right amount of electrolytes, the same thing. But it's just that you're just not getting enough fluids. So it's
not getting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And hypovolemia?
Hypovolemia is when the volume of blood in the bloodstream is too low. And so not enough is getting into the brain. People can feel lightheaded as if they're going to pass out. Their blood pressure will be very, very low, because there's just not enough water in the river in a lot of ways.
Okay, so heat. Heat has a lot of effect on people. It could have a lot of effect on people. You know, one of the beauties of, it's 111 degrees in, or 117 in Baghdad this week, you know? It's uncomfortable there, but you know, this heat, when a heat wave settles in like it does in New York, it feels like we're returning to an older New York, a city of stoops and open hydrants, a city in which everyone takes refuge sooner or later in the steaming streets, if only for the feeling of some moving air, because the apartments could be so closed in. Especially, you know, now you have air-conditioned air for a lot of people, but it's not in people's total homes. So we used to escape to the streets. It was always be in the streets. And part of what this addresses is the issue of violence and heat, and I want to talk about that. But to go back to that for a moment, being in the streets during the summer, as I knew our community when I was a kid, it was the only place to go. We couldn't get to a beach. We didn't have cars. We didn't know what to do, so we went to the streets. Now, what happens in the streets when you're very, very hot? You know, the asphalt kind of melts under your feet. You're kind of, I remember burning my feet on the asphalt. You know, it gets so hot. There's no water except for open hydrants, which are hard to open nowadays. What do? You're in the streets. You drink water. You buy bottled water. You drink sometimes alcohol. What effect does alcohol have on an overheated body?
Well, alcohol is a natural diuretic, and so I don't know if people have noticed, when they drink alcohol, they have to go to the bathroom, they have to urinate. And so when one urinates, the volume of fluid decreases in the body, has to be replaced. And instead of replacing it with water or Gatorade or other fluids with electrolytes, people usually drink more alcohol. So what happens is they keep losing the volume that they need to keep their blood pressure up and to feel good and to not get headaches and not get lightheaded.
Hasn't anybody invented a gin and Gatorade?
Sounds like the perfect summer drink.
Sounds like a perfect summer drink, a little gin and Gatorade. G&G. I'll have a G&G.
I think a lot of people are going to be doing that now.
You know, I think I just created something.
Did.
The other thing that happens in the streets is, you know, this thing does happening. It seems natural to drink beer. You know, beer seems to be the perfect cooling tonic. But beer also makes you lightheaded. Now you have a bunch of people in the streets, and look at this phenomenon. It's very hot out, right? It's steamy hot, over 100 degrees. You have, schools have just ended, right? It's the end of the year. It's so teenagers are in the streets. Now, what are teenagers going to do? Stay at home? They don't have the money to go anywhere, so they're hanging around. So you're hanging around with friends, and you're hanging around the block, and it's very hot, and it makes you irritable. Have we ever figured out where that irritability and headache comes from with heat?
Well, it's certainly dehydration is one is a known trigger for headache and for migraine. The irritability comes with the discomfort and the pain from a headache or the discomfort from just being too hot.
Discomfort, and you're kind of irritable, like you get in a subway. I think it has to do with kind of a claustrophobic feeling, too.
And there's probably an evolutionary cause for the irritability. It's basically telling the brain is telling the body, get out of the heat, drink fluids, do something to save yourself because you're at risk.
That's interesting. So a genetic way would be to get away. Oh, and of course, irritability towards other people would mean remove your body from the heat of other bodies.
Mm.
Move your body away. So irritability would be kind of, I got to keep you away from me. Too darn hot, you know? It's too darn hot to make love. It's too darn hot. If everybody had sex in the middle of the summer, when would people be born? Right? Because most people, I think, are born in July, which means that it took place somewhere.
In the nice, cool weather.
In the nice, cool weather, not during the middle of the heat. All right. All right, so here we are now. People have this kind of heat. Now, they're out in the streets, and we talked about school. The other thing that's happening this year, as opposed to any other year, is that we have a high unemployment rate. Now, we have high unemployment. We have people outside, people who can't afford their electric bill. I have a good friend who said to me, I can't run that air conditioner. I can't give that money to the people who provide the electricity because they rob us. And I know by running my air conditioner that I feed them in some way, so I refuse to run it, except if under dire necessity. I have such respect for her saying that. And so there you go. There you go, this kind of, in addition, you're not even running the thing because you can't afford it as well. If you're unemployed, you can't afford the electric bill.
And there are brownouts and blackouts, so that large swaths of neighborhoods in New York and in the suburbs don't have electricity. So not only do they not have light and some place to cook food, they have no air conditioning. And in this kind of heat, it can be really dangerous.
Well, something seems to happen with a blackout or a brownout. It seems to be an equalizer. You know, it's a funny thing. It's like almost like forest fires that get started by almost the forest itself to thin out the forest. You know, when there's a brownout or a blackout, and I remember a few of them in my lifetime, everybody becomes equal again.
You band together.
Yeah, you kind of move together in a different, more gentle kind of way. Armand DeMille with Sherry Siegel. We're talking about heat. And we're talking about heat and the way you are in heat, how alcohol will affect you. Another thing that happens a lot, believe it or not, in the summer, because people are in the streets, is there's a lot of, and you should pardon the reference, but urinating in public. Because people who are, you know, who have taken drunk beer to try to keep themselves going, they don't expect the pressures to be as fast as they are, and there are no bathrooms they can go to. So that happens also, and as you know, it seems like we're all out of control. But what we're doing is we become chemical messes during that period of time. So what to do? Yes, to avoid people who are drinking in the heat probably is one way to stay safest. But maybe you shouldn't stay safe. Maybe you should drink with everybody else. I don't know. I don't know what you should do, you know? Maybe that's the way you hang out on the stoop and, you know, play dominoes and drink beer. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do.
One thing you could do is alternate your one glass of beer with a glass of water, a beer or water, so that at least you're taking in half the alcohol and you're rehydrating yourself.
And, of course, we don't recommend drinking to anybody. The heat hypothesis states that hot temperatures can increase aggressive motives and behaviors. Although alternative explanations occasionally account for some portion of the observed increase in aggression, it's just basically violent crime is going to increase. Well, what do you think is going to happen if you're sitting around outside the house, got no place to go, you got a couple of guns sitting somewhere, you've got drugs and alcohol, high unemployment, kids out of school? What do you think is going to happen in small cities, impoverished cities, people who can't get to the Hamptons? Do you know what I mean? What do you think is going to happen? Of course it's going to blow up. And of course it's going to look more visible because you see more people. You know, but I don't know if the heat creates the violence. But the fact that we live in a world where there are haves and have-nots, and it's the have-nots that have the most frustration, and they happen to be in the streets, I think that may be a part of it. So a lot of police research, and I've been reading a lot of research on heat, kind of gets to the fact that it says, oh, heat leads to more violence in the streets. I'm not so sure. I'm not sure if it's the heat that does it or if it's the imbalance in our society that does it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that there chances are good that the people who are able to find cool, comfortable places are the people who might have some money. And the people who might not seek to be cooler by going outside, more people getting together, more people drinking to stay cool if they can. And so putting all those factors together may equal more violence. And just in the summer, there's more outside activity. People are outside of cars. They're outside of buildings. And so I think that that's a big factor in it as well.
What can we do for people to be a part of the solution? How do we help, right? Well, certainly making water available is a nice thing to do. I dislike having water be available by buying plastic bottles of water and then using those for part of landfill. So I wish there were a way of reusing bottles or reusing plastic so that we could give water to people, and maybe with that consideration in mind, you know, like cleaning and refilling. But just having water available, even tap water, is a great thing for people. In hospital emergency rooms, what they do now, because there are many heat-related hospital emergencies, is they have water, ice water, available immediately in the waiting room. It's like, this has got to be, they put out much more now, and they do that in many of the hospitals. So one of the things that we could do for each other is try to provide water. How do we do that? What do? You walk around with a gallon jug and maybe some paper cups and offer people a drink of water if they want it? What do you do for somebody who's laying on the sidewalk just trying to avoid the heat? How do you take care of them? How do you help?
Well, there are cooling centers that open up when the heat is unbearable. And there's a phone number. I think the 411 number might help people find cooling centers in their area.
Or the 311.
311, is that the number? Sorry.
Yeah, the cooling center. What is a cooling center?
It's a public building that's open, air-conditioned, and people who normally wouldn't go there, don't have to be a member of a club or pay money to go in, they're able to have access to a cool place, and chances are good that they will have water there as well.
As teenagers, we found cooling centers. We would go to the back exit of the movie theaters so that when the movie was out, as people were leaving, we'd sneak in to go sit in the movie theater because the movie theaters were always very cold.
Yeah,
the other place you can go to is casinos. They keep casinos very cold, too. You just have to look like you're a prospective customer. This is Armand DeMille with Sherry Siegel. You know, it's not easy out there. We're going to be taking your calls today as well. We're also going to have to end our program a little early because we want to play you some information about the election that's coming up at WBAI. But the question we have of you, and we're taking a survey this week, we need to find about the positive mind, your reaction to our program in all of its forms. Do you like the information we bring you? What kind of information do you prefer we bring you? Do you like the formats that we present to you? So if you would send us emails, we would appreciate it. We want to collect 100 letters. We've got about 30 from yesterday. So send it to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com. We want to hear, how do you like the program or dislike it? What do you like or dislike about it? And I'll share some of those with you. Like yesterday, someone said to me with callers, they said, Armand, I noticed with callers, you seem to have more tolerance and more patience with the male callers than you do with the women callers. And that was interesting. So I certainly want to watch for that. You know, I want to see if that's true, and if so, why? And other observations that are very helpful. So anything that you have, we would appreciate your sending to us. Armand at thepositivemind.com. Comments about the program, how you like it, how long you've been listening, what you've kind of liked and disliked, what suggestions you might have. We are listener responsive. You know, we want to know from you what it is that you like. We're here with you a lot. We do a lot of work to bring you this stuff. Thanks to Sherry, I've learned so much more. You add such a dimension to this program, Sherry, that it's helped me present things that I would have never thought of presenting before.
And I learned from you, Armand.
Yeah, and we learn. It's really great.
And the callers.
And the callers, too, as well. They're great teachers in many ways. So we're asking you to make a note to yourself. Send feedback to Armand at thepositivemind.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back from the break, shortly thereafter, we're going to be taking your calls to hear from you about how you do and how you fare during the heat. You know, the other question I have is, what about heat and hormones? Do you think that heat has any effect on the hormonal system as well? What do you think, Sherry?
I think it's the other way around. The hormones have a great effect on the body to sense heat and cool.
To sense heat and cool, yes, as well. Mm, very interesting. And so, therefore, at different times, you may be differently responsive,
yes,
to the heat. So sometimes the heat can bother you, and sometimes it may not bother you at all. Just on a lighter side, I couldn't resist this today. Squirrels. One of my favorite subjects in the world, squirrels. I know some people find squirrels to be horrible little objects, but boy, are they smart. Here's a little information that I discovered today. Squirrels can leap 10 times the length of their bodies, roughly double what the best human being long jumper can do. They can rotate their ankles 180 degrees so they can keep a grip on whatever they're doing, no matter which way they're facing. They have this visual kind of system which kind of works, that they don't have to move their heads, but they can see far greater to the up and down than we do. You see, so a squirrel can be perfectly still and can be watching something moving overhead. They also, they're not rodents. I thought they were. I know, I thought they were rats with tails.
That's their reputation.
That's their reputation. But the squirrel's strength is traced to its elaborately veined tail, which, among other things, serves as a thermoregulatory device. This came up in my heat research. So the squirrel tail helps in the winter to shunt warm blood towards the squirrel's core, and in the summer to wick off excess heat into the air. So that tail that they have is more than cute. It's highly functional. Highly functional. Now, they're nocturnal. They have poor vision. Oh, no, they don't have. The rodents are. It's diurnal and has keen eyesight, very, very keen eyesight. Now, here's what the squirrel does that fascinates me. You see the squirrel with the acorn, right? Sitting there eating with eating an acorn, nibbling. He's not eating the acorn. He's eating away at the acorn to get a seed. And then he takes the seed and he plants it. Now, he finds a spot to plant a seed or plant an acorn. But squirrels observe other squirrels just as they observe humans. And they will watch, they'll follow another squirrel along to find out where they buried their acorn, and they'll go dig it up and take it as their own. So what squirrels do is they make believe they're burying acorns, and they don't bury them. They will go to a site knowing they're being watched by another squirrel, and they'll make believe they're burying it. Then they'll go somewhere else and bury it while the one who is watching them is trying to dig up their acorn. That's a smart that's been known to move their seeds 5 times or 6 times. Just as a kind of diversion away from the other squirrels. Now, not only that, but they also imitate. Squirrels will cross the street with humans. They will sit by the side of the road watching a traffic pattern. You know, that's why you don't see many squirrels laying across the road. They are very traffic-wise. So they follow humans, and they watch what humans do. And then they cross when the humans do. They'll dart across the road when humans do. What have we been ignoring, these beings who have been out there? And, of course, if you have bird food and birds' nests, you give You know, I mean, a squirrel says, hey,
Lunch
for us. We know how to get at it. We can get at that bird food no matter where you put it.
They're ingenious.
What? It's really rather remarkable. So they have this kind of hoarding behavior, but they may be opportunistic feeders. I mean, they'll eat scraps like an old cheeseburger laying around or crickets or something, but they're mainly grainavoids and seed hoarders, and they'll gather these acorns. And they'll try to get them to use them up as stern nutrition, and they're going to put them away and save them. They're going to plant them, you know? And so they're really responsible for a lot of our trees. They don't just come back in the winter, you know? They plant them now. Okay, when squirrels are certain that they're being watched, they'll actively seek to deceive the would-be thieves. And this is just... it's beyond me. It's beyond human. So, my friends, the next time you're looking at one of our furry friends and you're saying, I hate squirrels because they've been all over your yard, you know, and you couldn't get rid of them, kind of have some respect for a level of intelligence that actually goes beyond human. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. What do you think of that, Sherry? You didn't expect me to bring that in.
You threw a curveball.
A curveball.
But it made me think of the squirrel highway. At my sister's house, there's a fence in the back of the house. And the squirrels, it's basically a thoroughfare for them. They go from one yard to the other. And that's their route of transportation. They take their things back and forth. It's amazing to see. It's like a road. It's Route 95 for squirrels.
Really?
Yes.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about heat and how the heat plays on you. And, of course, okay, if you have the difficulty with it, it's going to have certain meanings to you.
I just wanted to add, before we were talking about certain drugs that could cause hyperthermia, and these are some of the over-the-counter medications and Parkinson's medications that are prescribed medicines, but we didn't talk about illicit drugs like the amphetamines. Those can cause a hyperthermic situation as well. Cocaine, I mentioned amphetamines, LSD, PCP. These are all things that can cause hyperthermia. And these are completely unregulated. So no doctor is prescribing it, saying take this much or be careful in the heat. And certainly when kids are outside taking drugs, maybe drinking alcohol, in the heat, they're at great risk.
So Sherry, if somebody has an attack or somebody is under attack, now you said something about the body regulating. You say we all have a thermometer. What is this about the loss of thermometer?
Well, we have the hypothalamus. That's one of the main regulatory organs in the body, and it's in the brain. And it has our temperature set point. When that's not working correctly. And in certain disorders, I can think of the neurological disorders, sometimes in MS, the hypothalamus is not working well. It may possibly due to a plaque from the MS, and that causes a person to be very sensitive to the heat or the cold. And so the symptoms, the person who has MS, are worse when she or he is very hot.
You have any idea what thinking, Sherry, about air conditioning and its effect on us? I mean, you know, I haven't done much thinking about it myself.
I think it keeps us isolated sometimes, rather than going outside as you might have when you were young. People who have access to air conditioning stay in their homes. It's a lot like being, it's almost like winter in the summer. They don't get out, they don't want to go out into the heat, so they stay isolated in some ways.
I have a car, and it had some problems recently, so I brought it for a bit. A guy gave me a loaner. I pulled a loaner into a garage, and the guy said, "Oh, you got that car with that air conditioner." I said, "What air conditioner?" He said, "The one that if you put it on full blast, it blows right in your face." I said, "Really?" I said, "I didn't even know it." I said, "You want to sit in there for a while?" He says, "I certainly do," because he was desperate, and they were actually spotting the cars that would have the best blowers. So cars become another way of isolating yourself. It's like a walking refrigerator. You know, and here's one that you're not going to get a brownout. You know what I mean? Your battery may die, but you're not going to get a brownout. Okay, I mean, you're just kind of rolling down the streets, and there are people who are dying. Maybe one of the things that people could do for each other, if they are driving, is help ferry people. You know, get people at bus stops, offer them a ride. Say, let me take you across town. You know, if you happen to be that fortunate, or if you happen to be in that situation, not that you should be driving in New York City. But if you are, maybe you could offer something. Maybe there are things we can do for people.
And I'm wondering if there are people in the audience who have any ideas about that, how the heat affects them, does it cause them to be irritable, or do they actually like it? I talked to my niece who lived most of her life in California, and another man from Jamaica. Both of them said the heat is wonderful, but sometimes, for example, my friend from Jamaica says that in Jamaica it's hot, but there's always a great breeze. Here in New York, when there's heat and no breeze and the pavement is scorching, it's a completely different world and very unpleasant.
When you say the pavement is scorching, it absorbs heat, right?
When it's
dark. And that's the problem. It absorbs heat.
Yeah.
And so it's like residual heat is sitting there.
Yes.
212-209-2900. We're going to take your call in just a moment. Let me see.
There are medical disorders that can cause hyperthermia, things like thyroid toxicosis. That's when the thyroid gland is overactive. That can cause hyperthermia. Sometimes when there is a tumor called a pheochromocytoma, that's a big long name. We have the adrenal glands. Those are the glands that are on top of the kidneys. And if there's a tumor there, sometimes that can cause hyperthermia.
So if you suspect, if you see somebody passed out, the first thing you want to do is move them out of the sun, like you said, into a shadier air-conditioned space, call 911 or emergency medical help and say what?
You want to say someone is hyperthermic. They'll understand what that means. They're having heat stroke. That's a common name for hyperthermia. Heat stroke is a common name.
You cool a person off by spraying them with cool water. You direct air onto a person with a fan or a newspaper if you can, so that you see a person fanning a person, right? And you have them drink cool water or other non-alcoholic beverages.
You can think of those pocket parks. Many of the pocket parks have fountains. They have places that little waterfalls. Sometimes you'll feel a spray of water from them. And so that might be a good place to take someone who feels lightheaded, irritable from too much heat.
Pouring a bottle of water over someone's head is not such a terrible idea. No, it's kind of welcome. I did it to myself yesterday. I said, well, you know, it's really hot out here. And I just poured a bottle of water on my head. It was perfect.
That's great.
It's a perfect moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a call. 212-209-2900. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes.
Armand.
Yes.
Yes, a happy, sweltering, healthy afternoon to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Could you turn down your radio?
It's completely off, Armand.
Okay, thank you.
It's completely off, and I'm throwing the wire ahead out of here. Yeah, Armand, I'm going to
tell
you.
Where are you, by the way?
Who am I?
Yeah.
I'm Austin. I haven't called you in a long time. I've been overloading your box with emails, and I apologize for that.
It's Austin, like Austin,
a new toy, a new toy for me, Armand. So, yeah.
Hi, Austin. Thank you very much. I love your I love your emails. They're always very constructive.
Thanks. You called me on my snippiness, and I've tried to tone that back when
sure,
I get there.
Sure.
Sometimes I get deep, and sometimes I get snippy. But anyway, I'll get into my chat. As a quick aside, I just want to say that maybe you have more patience with the guys at times because we're not used. It's still verboten for us to talk about our emotional stuff, and we can get scared away very easily if you don't give us time. A lot of guys just – so maybe you're doing a little gender affirmative action in some kind of strange way, even if unconsciously, and being more patient because we're very afraid of talking about our inner stuff. So, ladies, please understand. It's just addressing the disparities in the way we process emotion and that kind of thing.
What a sensitive thing to say, Austin. Thank you so much. Thank you.
But going on to the heat, you know, I try to keep the air conditioner off as much as possible. I generally just use it for sleep, and I do that partly out of ecologic reasons. I don't like that hot air going out, and I don't want the whole system to blow out, and then all of us have nothing, and people will have their food rot. And also, when you go out into the heat, when you've been in the AC all day, you feel very sickly. You don't feel well. It's not natural for the body to be in a closed, air-conditioned, you know, sanitary, hermetically sealed environment and step out into the heat and expect to feel like a human being. So it's a matter of acclimatization, I think. So you do what you can. I'm not saying everyone should follow this prescription. I'm saying it works for me. Plus, trying to keep healthy, taking electrolytes and supplements, eating well. And if I feel good, the heat does not bother me.
He doesn't bother you at all. And going out and being able to be out there when you're feeling like okay, no matter what the condition is an ideal state of body. But I think you're saying something also very important about turning people not using certain equipment like dishwashers and things like that, which burn up so much power, which could in effect have this kind of domino effect of giving us a brownout, which may seem kind of delightful, but really dangerous for many people.
Forgive me for interrupting. There's something to be said for the joys of hand washing, as silly as that may sound.
That's right.
But it's good. It's good at strengthening your hands, your wrists, and you get in the Zen moment of just being there, present with what you're doing, and it can be its own kind of fun. And so there's a lot of alternatives and creative ways of dealing with all this.
As Mr. Miyake would tell me. Thank you.
Armand, thanks so much.
Austin, be sure to send me a letter. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's a letter I'm requesting from people to giving us feedback on our program. I'm going to ask for the 3 days this week. I want to collect a number of letters. I want to hear the positives and the minuses because we're setting up our programming for the upcoming programs. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Dr. DeMille.
Hi there.
My name's Johnny.
Hello, Johnny.
I've spoken with you a few times before.
Nice to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours all the time. I use an exhaust fan, instead of air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. And that helps you a lot.
It does. I have the exhaust fan in one end of the apartment and only one window open in the other, and it brings in a steady stream of cool outside air, and so the inside is no longer a thermal collector.
Well, that's a good idea. I mean, that kind of works for you, not having a thermal collector around. Do you live with anybody?
No.
So that's a good idea, too, not to have a thermal collector. So it seems like you're the kind of person who is very comfortable being alone.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it.
Yeah. Would you prefer...
I'm used to it. If it was somebody else here, they would feel the air just blowing in on the bed all the time.
They would feel unwelcome in your home.
Well, maybe.
Well, that's an interesting...
Maybe if there's somebody else, I would turn on the air conditioners, but I don't really need them.
Yeah, so let me ask you something. Do you think there's any part of you that is keeping yourself from having a relationship? Is there something about having another relationship that maybe you're a little gun-shy, maybe you've been hurt too often? I know you called about the air conditioning, but I hear something. I hear you've got your exhaust fans working, which means You can pass through, but get out of here as fast as you can.
Well, I don't know. I've had people over, and they don't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The middle room has a ceiling fan.
But you have nobody in particular who you've had a relationship with of any significance for a period of time?
Not this millennium.
Yeah, not this millennium, right? It's a long time.
Yeah.
So what do you think? What's the reason?
I don't know any women that I like.
It's hard to find somebody you can get along with. You know, maybe you just find yourself getting along with yourself.
I get along with everybody, but...
Not at that level of intimacy.
No.
You don't want anybody who's going to create heat. You know, in your life. You want
I don't like people giving me problems.
That's right. You don't like heat because you want to keep the heat moving in and out of your house. You know what I mean? If it's going to come in, just look, don't bother me too much.
I told my aunt that I don't know any women that I like. I don't know any women that even seem to care if I like them or not. And she said, well, that would be a good start.
But it's because you're probably putting out a signal. You're probably putting out a signal of some kind that says, I'm not interested. You know?
I don't like to spend my energy trying to get people.
Yeah, I understand. It sometimes just takes bright eyes. The real red thing you have to recognize is that you're probably afraid. Probably afraid to have somebody get that close and create trouble because you've just had it once too often. You'll have a time. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, I'll be speaking to you again. We're going to have to be going soon, my friends, a little earlier than usual, because we do have something that we would like to play for you about the upcoming elections. This is Armand DeMille with Sherry Siegel. Sherry, thank you so much. I think this is valuable. I hear that they may be replaying this program in the middle of the night for people who would benefit by it. And we will be back with you again tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, with more programming. And do send that letter to Armand at thepositivemind.com. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Armand.
Thanks,
and
Lauren.
Everybody.